All right, how you guys doing this morning? Everybody awake? This morning I want to talk to you, hopefully it'll be brief, we'll see. This morning I want to talk to you about suffering. Suffering, okay? We all suffer, don't we? Everybody has, thank you for my pick. If I don't have this, it's going to be bad. That would be horrible. In fact, it's good to see you back, Scott. I was wondering when you came up here when you're going to be ready to play guitar. You ready yet? You getting there? We'll see. I want to see a Roger and Scott-like band get together. You could play bass maybe, you know. It'd be fun. But anyways, we all suffer. And how many of you guys have seen the meme online, the First World Problems meme? Anybody see that? First World Problems, okay, we have one intelligent, informed individual in the audience this morning. No. First World Problems are this, it's this picture, I should have got the picture, but it's this woman, and she looks like she drives a minivan, and she's like a soccer mom, and she's got her hand over her face like this, you know, and you could tell she's kind of been crying. And then they write stuff on it, and some of the First World Problems, you know, like broken phone, like Pastor Joe dropped his phone this week. How many of you guys have seen the commercial with the guy and his phone is cracked, and so then like his wife texts him or his girlfriend texts him and then he has to answer, and so he looks at his fingers and they're all bandaged up, you know, and so then he's got to like just go and he swipes it, you know, because he knows he's going to be cut again and again, like first world problems, okay? If you live in a third world country, you don't have a problem that your cell phone is broken. Oh, you know, it's hard to be an American. Or what about like when our DVR doesn't record, you know, last week? We wanted to watch the Emmys. I don't know why, probably because we're bad Christians. But we wanted to watch the Emmys, and it was supposed to DVR, and it didn't DVR, and so then we didn't get to see, you know, Kevin Spacey make jokes and stuff. And, you know, it's just like, oh, this is horrible, we missed it, you know, first world problems. Kids in too many activities, you know, we complain because our children are in too many academic opportunities that it makes our life difficult. You know what I mean? Imagine you're in a third world country, you're lucky if your kids have school or don't get kidnapped in the middle of the night and made little soldiers. But we attribute so much to suffering in our lives that isn't really quite suffering when it comes down to it. Pastor Joe talked about this a couple weeks ago. He said the extra in our life, you know, if I go to Starbucks and I look at my phone and like my card is not charged, I'm like, oh, I have to log into PayPal now. Oh, this is so, you know, it's so difficult. We attribute so much to like, oh, my life is so difficult, you know, because I have all of these opportunities that I'm trying to fit into my life. When a lot of people in the world just don't have opportunities. But we also have real suffering, okay? And we have to kind of distinguish a little bit. There is real suffering in the world. There's broken hearts. How many of you have ever had a broken heart? Anybody? Yes? Okay. How many of you guys remember Hermie the crab? Remember us talking about Hermie the crab? We got a hermit crab at the beach, and we named him Hermie, okay? And this was a big, like, growth moment for me because I hated Hermie before we even bought him, and I didn't want anything to do with pets in our home because we already have children, and that's enough trouble. And so we get this pet into our home, and it's worse than a cat. It's worse than a dog because it's so super hard to take care of. You have to have, like salt water for them to bathe in, and then fresh water for them to drink, and then you have to have special food, and you have to feed it like meat and like different things, like fruits and vegetables and stuff, and then you have to Rebecca, you had one, right? You know, with all this craziness. It's just insane. You have to build the crab habitat, and you have the little log, you know, that they climb up, you know, and then they got the little eyes, and then, you know, and they look at you with their little eyeballs, and it's kind of really creepy, but it's a pet, you know, and so you just pretend like you like it, and it's, oh, it's so cute. It freaks me out. So, Hermie died. I know, heartbreak. Hermie died. It's been a couple weeks now. He's been dead in his cage. It's kind of a war of attrition between my wife and I. I figure when he starts stinking bad enough, she'll clean it out. But I feel like Hermie had it coming, to be honest. All right? When we first got Hermie, we put him in the crab habitat, and he's all walking around, you know, crabby-like. And he'd look at you and come out of his shell, and it would, like, freak you out. Because he'd always, like, he's inside this tiny little shell, and then he'd come out, and he'd be like this monster, like, rah! But then he had little tentacles, you know, and he climbed to the top of his log at the cage, and he'd be holding on and swinging and stuff, and he'd, like, look at you and everything. It was cool. I mean, on some level, like, as cool as a little crab can be. But after we had him for a while, Hermie went downhill. He started staying up late, started drinking out of the salt water instead of the fresh water, you know, getting a little too much in the nighttime, staying up all hours of the night. And then in the daytime, he'd be hungover. He'd be just like buried inside the sand, you know, not coming out, not saying hi to anybody. We'd walk by, where's Hermie? I don't know. He's just hungover again, just inside there. Stopped being social. And didn't come out and flitter his eyes anymore. He had it coming. Should have never made those choices, but he died. And it's kind of heartbreaking for some people in our family. We thought it would be rough on the kids, but they're just kind of matter-of-fact about it. Well, Hermie doesn't move anymore, you know. At least we could see him now. It's pretty bad. But the truth is, we all suffer. I know some of you guys have real pets, a cat or a dog that passed, and it hurts. It hurts. So you have a family member that's sick and going through difficult times. You have sickness. You have suffering. You have pain, real pain. You lose a job. You don't get the raise that you were planning on. Your financial plans don't work out, and you're living paycheck to paycheck. And we have suffering. We have real suffering. Drama, family drama. Anybody got family drama? Yeah? Go ahead, raise your hand. You'll get some more on the ride home. Yeah. We have family drama that just causes suffering and pain in our lives. And as Americans, we believe fundamentally, most of us, that if there's pain, then something is going wrong. Okay? If there is pain anywhere in me or around me, something is very wrong and I must fix it. Okay? I got to go see Dr. Jordan because I got pain. All right? And on some level, it's true. Obviously, if you've got some crazy pain going on, you should go check it out. You know, if every time you like roll over, your kidneys are like, I hate you, then you should probably get that checked out. You know, if you've got like massive sores or something, you should probably get it checked out. But there's other things in our lives where we have pain, and we feel like if there's pain, then something is going horribly wrong. Horribly wrong. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. And we want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. And I want to read for you some of the verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, sorry. That's going to work out a lot better for both of us since I studied 2 Corinthians and not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, it says this. Blessed be God, and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort, okay? Blessed be God because he's a God of comfort, and that's cool. The Father of mercies, God of comfort. That's great. We're following along so far. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, just want to pause right there because chances are you didn't use tribulation this week. It's not a word that we generally say very often, like, oh, on the ride home from work, like, there was so much tribulation, and, you know, it was just really slow. The people in front of me were travailing, you know. We don't use that. But tribulation means suffering. It means pain. It means like this time of affliction, of sorrow, pain. It's like this moment, this time that I'm going through that's difficult, that's really painful and not cool. That's what tribulation means, okay? You guys got that? Everybody say tribulation. Tribulation. You guys are so obedient. It's awesome. We're going to do some other fun stuff maybe. Okay. Now, he says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, we could just stop right there because there's a problem. See, God's almighty and all-powerful, right? One person, please. God's almighty and all-powerful? Like we assume that, right? Okay? That we kind of take that for granted because he's God, and if he wasn't, then wouldn't be God. Okay, so God's almighty, all-powerful. So if you're almighty, all-powerful God, and I have pain and suffering in my life over the loss of our dearly passed hermit crab, couldn't he take away the suffering? Couldn't he take away the sickness? Couldn't he take away the pain? Couldn't he take away, couldn't he keep our loved one from dying? Couldn't he make the cancer go away? That would be a lot more comforting to me, I would think, right? Like if he just if we went home and Hermie was back to his old buried in the sand self, you know, not being social. If you went back in and you had no cancer, if all of a sudden your back wasn't sore, if all of a sudden the pain and the suffering just goes away, that would seem like it would be more comforting. So what is this whole thing about he comforts us in all our tribulation? If you're God, you figure he would do a better job of the comfort part by just taking it away, because now I'm happy. And I thought about it, and this is the best analogy I could come up with. How many of you are fans of green peas? You like green peas? You people are all sick, okay? Just so you know. I want you to know I'm judging you. because green peas are basically tiny little bags of plant vomit, just waiting for you to explode them into your mouth. Now, do you still like green peas? No, it's disgusting. It is the most vile, disgusting thing. I'm a little kid. I'm sitting at the table. The first time I experience plant droppings on my plate, and my parents, you know, they scoop this on there, and I'm like, what is this? I've seen rabbits. I've seen deer. What made this one? This is gross. Are you sure, Mom? Like, are you sure we're supposed to eat this? And then I eat it, and it's even worse. It's as bad as you can imagine it would ever be. It just, it's like, oh, I cannot stand it. It would make me gag. I would get, like, physically green. Like, what do you expect? So I'm sitting at the table, and I don't know about, you know, parents nowadays. They're like, well, if they're hungry, they'll eat, you know, and we want them to eat nutritious GMO only. You know, my parents were like, you eat it, and you'll stay there until you die, or you eat it, or both. Okay, I don't care. So my whole family would get up and leave the table because they were all done, and they'd be in the other room, and I'd be sitting there, ADD Ron, you know, kicking my legs back and forth, like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? I can't do it. I can't do it. Mom, you know, I'd try to hide them. We didn't have a dog, unfortunately, and so I learned to eat peas like you take pills. Okay. And you scoop them in your mouth and just drink it down, all right? And then you just swallow them whole. And to this day, I still swallow peas whole. If I ever, God forbid, come to someone's house and they serve peas, you know, being a good person, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And then I have to catch my breath afterwards. It's disgusting. But my abusive parents would force this plant vomit on me. And, you know, I'm wondering, Why would they do that? Why would they do that? And of course, you folks are more intelligent than me. You know, peas are actually good for you. Apparently, as inconceivable as that is, there's some nutritional quality to these tiny little bags of plant droppings, okay? That when you eat them, it's going to give your body the nutrients it needs. And not only that, but my parents knew that if I would learn to eat the things that I don't like, then I wouldn't be a slave to eat only things that I do like, which would be bad for me my whole life. And then I would learn to eat to live instead of live to eat. And I would learn the character of doing hard things even when it hurts and when I don't like it, okay? My parents knew all these things and they were teaching me these lessons. I didn't understand it then, but they were. And it's the same with God. Could it be that my mom and dad saw a purpose in feeding me peas? Yes, it was. It was to grow me. And the truth is that humans only grow when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing. Humans only grow when the pain of staying the same, right where I'm at, is greater than it is for me to change and do something else. That's when we grow. Now, that's pretty depressing, but it's true. It's true in your life, it's true in my life, which is why if we ever want to affect change in your life, you have to kind of life hack your way into it and figure out how to make it easier to do the right thing, okay? Make it easier to do the right thing. There is purpose for a Christian to suffer. I want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians 1:6, it says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Okay? Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's part of our salvation process to be afflicted. It is part of how God saves you for you to experience tribulation suffering and pain. That is part of God's process of saving you. You're like, well, I thought I prayed a prayer and then like I go to heaven someday and that's saved. Saved is so much more than that. Saved isn't just someday when I die. Saved is right now, a new life in Christ. And so he is then intervening in your world to make new life possible. But you won't change unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing to be like Christ. And so he brings the peace, the thing that you hate, the pain, the suffering, the anguish into your life to push you off of your chair and move you an inch forward because he loves you. And the great thing about being a Christian, this is how it works. Look at the next part. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering with which we suffer. Okay, this is how it works. Salvation works because we suffer. This is how it works. Salvation works because we suffer. If we didn't have suffering, then we would not grow to be more like Christ. We would not. And I know it's counterintuitive, but think about this. Comedy works the same way. Comedy works because people suffer. And you're like, what? I don't get that. Think about it. When you see a comedian on stage and they are just telling this story about how rotten a time they had, how difficult it was. Take Pastor Joe, for instance. He's telling a story about how he drives by that stupid red truck every day that calls out to him, Joe, buy me. You would be so awesome if you had the red truck. I laugh my face off every time we ride by that truck and I see him going, okay? I just, suffer. Until there's an Apple announcement, right? And there's a new phone that comes out, and I'm sitting in his office, and I'm like, do you see the new phone? It's got this fingerprint sensor on it, you know? And he's like, well, are you going to get it? I'm like, I don't know, man. I probably shouldn't, but I kind of want it. And he goes, suffer. And you guys are all laughing because we both suffer. You're horrible people. It's how it works. Comedy works because there's suffering. Suffering has purpose. It moves us. It changes us. Pain is not all bad. Without pain, it wouldn't be funny. And Jesus didn't come into the world to stop suffering. If you don't get anything else from this message, okay, you laugh a little bit, you go home, you eat an unhealthy lunch with peas, and you don't remember anything else, remember this. Jesus did not come into the world to stop suffering. He came into the world to give suffering meaning and purpose. Jesus did not come into the world to stop our suffering. He came into the world to give suffering meaning and purpose. He came into the world to give suffering meaning and purpose. The worst part of hell is not the pain and the suffering. It's that the eternal pain and suffering has eternal hopelessness. There is no hope that this pain or this suffering has any purpose whatsoever. It is just eternal pain. That's what makes hell so bad. It's not that there's suffering. It's that there's no hope that this suffering has a meaning or a purpose or is going to grow me. It's just constant suffering. Look at the next verse, in verse 7. It says, and our hope. He's talking this whole passage about suffering. And he says, our hope is steadfast. That means our hope doesn't waver. It's not like we get doubtful. Well, I don't know. Maybe this suffering isn't so man, this one's going to be bad, you know? Like, this is just not good for you. Like, our hope is steadfast. It doesn't move. Knowing this, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. You know what a consolation prize is? That's when you're no good at the game and they give you a star anyways. Okay? It's this consolation prize. Like, you failed miserably, but because we don't want you to cry while everybody else is trying to have a good time, we're going to give you a little prize. The consolation prize. And that's awesome. Because I got to tell you, I don't handle suffering well. I whine and I cry like a little baby. Ask my wife when I get sick. It's just horrible. Oh, woe is me. I don't do the suffering well. I don't suffer well. And I'm guessing that most of you probably don't suffer well either. You're a bunch of babies too sometimes. But even if you fail the suffering, just going through it, experiencing it itself, you're going to get comfort from God, and you're going to get consolation. You're going to get a gift. You're going to get a gift, and the gift is hope. The gift is hope. That the suffering that I'm going through right now, this week, this crazy stuff going on, there's a purpose. There's a meaning. God loves me enough to force me to eat peas. God loves me enough to force me through this time that I would never choose for myself because I'm too much of a wuss and because I really like sitting on the couch and not doing anything else. But God's going to put this into my life to move me forward because he loves me and he cares about me. And there's hope and there's meaning and there's purpose to your suffering. Jesus didn't come into the world to stop suffering. He came into the world to give your suffering meaning and purpose and hope so that you'll come out the other side changed, saved, renewed, rejuvenated, sanctified is the big word we use to talk about what salvation does in our heart. Set apart, separate from what you used to be that you hated, back into a new place that you love and God loves you, and this is what God had for you. I tell people the purpose of my life, my life's mission is to help others realize the dream of their creator. That's what salvation is. It's this process of us walking through pain, getting closer and closer to God's dream and vision for our life. But it takes pain to get there. God is with you. God, your Father, is with you. You're suffering because it's the process of salvation. So I want to transition here. If you're a Christian, you should be extremely encouraged. Yes, you have to eat your peas, and you're not allowed to get up until you eat them. But it's going to make you healthier. If you're not a Christian, though, I got to tell you, the suffering that you're experiencing in your life, because you're still going to suffer, Christian, non-Christian, it rains and shines on good and bad, and you know, good people have droughts and bad people have droughts, but the suffering in your life doesn't really have a purpose. There isn't really hope to that suffering. It just sucks. I mean, it's just bad. There's no like eternal purpose that God's working in this necessarily, except maybe to bring you to him. And so you're going to go through a lot of suffering in your life because it's the human condition, but there's not necessarily hope unless you have Christ in your heart, unless you have Jesus who's guiding you through that and giving you hope and consolation. It's just going to suffer. So I want to ask you, does your suffering have purpose this morning? Or are you just suffering? You could live your life waiting for the suffering to go away, but it just won't. If you want it to have purpose, to have comfort in the tribulation, then I want you to invite Jesus into your heart this morning. I want today to be the day that you take your first step and say, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the suffering in my life just being miserable. I want it to have purpose. I want my life to have meaning, to grow me, to shape me. And if that's you this morning, then I want to invite you to ask Jesus in your heart. And to do that, I'm going to ask Pastor Joe to come up. And he's going to close as I go get ready for a baptismal. And he's going to tell you how you can have Jesus in your heart.
You can all stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, I can't even imagine what it would be like to not have Christ in my heart, to go through those trials and tribulations. You know, Pastor Ron talked about hell is not about the suffering and the pain and everything that's going on. But you know what else it is? And not having hope. But what it is separation from God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, if you have never invited Jesus into your heart at some point in your life, from the time you were born until now, if you've come here today and have never consciously invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you've had that invitation, you've prayed that prayer, that first step that Pastor Ron was talking about, if you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning by praying a very simple prayer. Now, that's not a magic thing that, okay, I'm going to pray this prayer and then, boom, I'm a Christian and that's it. And then I just go about living my life the way it is. No, it's not the case. This is just the first step. This is acknowledging that you do not have Jesus. Jesus Christ, that you want to consciously invite him into your heart and say, God, you know what? I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I have no hope. I can't even imagine what not having any hope. I could not imagine. Those of you that are Christians probably are thinking, you know what? How could I have ever come through what I've just come through and not have that hope that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life? So I'm going to pray a very simple prayer with you this morning. And if your desire is to know Jesus more, to know who God is, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer of invitation with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, and pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, see who's prayed that prayer this morning so that I know how to pray. I'm not going to call you out or anything. Would you raise your hand? Just slip your hand up real quick. Let me see if you've prayed that prayer. Anybody pray that prayer this morning? All right. Well, if you have some trials and tribulations, if you're a Christian and you have some trials and tribulations that you're going through right now, and you really need somebody to kind of pray with you or talk to you or show you in Scripture what you're going through, we've got a couple of people in the back. They would absolutely love to take you and to show you in Scripture any problems that you have and just show you what God says about it. And if you prayed that prayer and you were too embarrassed to raise your hand, how about when I have this invitation that you would just slip out and go back and talk to one of these people and just they would be able to tell you what you did through Scripture. So I'm going to give you a time of while Nathan is playing the guitar and doing a verse of invitation. Why don't you come? We have the altar open this morning. If you're going through any trials and tribulations, or if you have some sickness that you're dealing with, or if you have a friend that's dealing with something and they're here with you maybe today and you want to bring them down, why don't you come on down and don't delay. Just come on down and God is waiting for you to just kneel at his altar and give it up to him. So just come on down. Don't delay. Gracious God, we just thank you so much. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the hope that you have given us, God. That we know that this world isn't the end. That there's a better place just waiting for us. God, I just thank you for those that have come out today. May when we leave these doors, Father, may you give us opportunity to speak to somebody about your Son. And then give us the courage to speak about him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.